The following message is copyrighted by Westminster Theological Seminary. Duplication, distribution, or other use of all or any part of this message is not permitted without prior written consent. Please direct your inquiries to communications@wts.edu. For all other information, please visit the main website at www.wts.edu.
The things they talk about are very, very serious and deep, but the seriousness in a way taken away by this very lilting lightness, in a way too light. And you can almost immediately spot this type of music if you just have ears to listen. After four bars, you already know where you are, sometimes after half a bar. If you want to hear something good, because in the 50s, we have the high point of this type of music, one of the most creative periods in American black music, and a very outburst of creativity, and one of the most conspicuous, greatest groups that I try to make you understand. It's very important, as you hear. This a very fantastic group is the Spirit of Memphis Quartet. It was, as usual with this group, it began somewhere in the 20s. I just bought a record down in Chattanooga a couple of years ago of their 40 years existence. The Spirit of Memphis Quartet had its best day also in the early 50s, and its sound is similar and yet very different from what you just heard. This is a group which is associated with the church. These, of course, are professional musicians. Surely, surely, amen.
Surely.
Surely.
Just can't keep it
Amen.
To myself.
Amen.
Gotta go tell
Amen.
Somebody else.
Amen.
When the fire can burn, and a wheel
can
turn.
Amen.
Surely.
Just a few words. First, most of these records you hear, there's a drums in it. Now, I've never seen a drum used on the stage. Yes, in the newest kind of developments in the last 10 years, yes, but before that time, this group never performed with the drums. But the drums is there in the studio because what they lack is the audience. Because, of course, the audience is going to clap and be the drums, as it were. Because black people have a different type of politeness than we have. For a black man, it's very impolite to say nothing if somebody else speaks. You got to say, of course, yes, that's right, amen, and clap your hands, because otherwise it just seems as if he is speaking for the benches. And so if you sing, of course, you just go in between. You have heard that several times, and I think that's a very nice way of politeness, which I'm not inviting you to do at this moment. The Spirit of Memphis has a very wide variety of songs, a very different types of expressions, but I want to let you listen to one of the most beautiful of them, just to give you, well, which gives you an idea of what a group like this can do. It's called the Quartet, the Spirit of Memphis Quartet. Probably there are five, six, or seven in the group. One thing more, there is a widespread, crazy kind of misunderstanding of black music. I don't know where it comes from, but it is this, that this music is improvised. Of course, you can never improvise music like this. These are highly trained groups, and if I would ask the Spirit of Memphis tomorrow to sing this song, they would perform it exactly like this. Of course, every group has its own his own arranger who arranges it, who leads the group, who makes the arrangement of the song, or maybe composes a song and makes an arrangement and somebody else can make another arrangement. Of course, this kind of thing is there. But this group, in this performance, would do it every time and again in exactly the same way. You simply can't improvise things like this. I don't know where that crazy idea come from. It's good enough without that almost miraculous kind of improvising this on the spot. Blessed are the dead.
Live in careless,
careless
day by day.
Never
stopping for what
to pray.
Soon death's reaper
is coming.
Rightly done in the a cappella way without instruments. And of course you have many women who are doing the same thing, have a group, for instance, the Drinkard Singers, that's in the 50s too. Just a little while to stay here.
Oh,
joy!
Many people have said these songs are just songs of escapism. They just sing about just a little while to stay here. Soon we will be there. Soon we will be over. Blessed are the dead. It's always about this. And there's some truth in it. Nevertheless, not so long ago, a very good book on the gospel sound was produced, and it is called The Good News in Bad Times. And much of this music is really geared to the understanding that we live in bad times and that there is consolation in the fact that the Lord is coming back. But just in the middle of all this, and therefore I think it's so important, in the middle of all this, we've got to understand that it is not just singing about there, but it's singing about here. It is just as much concerned with the here and now as the blues, and it says how in a horrible world we're living and in what a difficult situation. But in the midst of all kinds of songs singing about heaven, Marianne Williams sang also this song, and I think it belongs to it. It is one part of it. It is part of the presentation and the content of music. Good news in bad times. So here you hear Marianne Williams in one of the most interesting, as far as text goes, very interesting gospel songs I know. Now it's time to get into the protest. We're going to march. We're going to renew. The black people are going to ask for their rights. And so we have these freedom marches with Martin Luther King. And there were some black people who were as racist as some white people are. For instance, the Carolina Freedom Fighters of 1962. Listen to what kind of music they're singing. The Carolina Freedom Fighters. Everybody wants freedom. Listen. Of an old a Fish Jubilee singer's kind of spiritual. The Carolina Freedom Fighters. Everybody wants freedom. Listen.
Everybody wants
freedom,
everybody wants
interpretation of an old a Fish Jubilee singer's kind of spiritual. I'm happy to know that Martin Luther King also had a great relationship with Dorothy Love, one of the great singers, somebody like Mahalia Jackson, who is, after all, only one of the many, who was coming from Birmingham. She sang also for him. This whole development had a great influence, of course, also of the choir singing in the church. And in 1961, I had the great honor to be present at the service in the Greater Harvest Baptist Church in Newark, New Jersey. And this church, which was, I think, in size as big as this room, it was just an old supermarket that they had bought. They had four choirs, each Sunday another choir. And one of these choirs was the Greater Harvest Baptist Church Choir. And I just have two little songs of them. One of us, an original, and I think one of the most beautiful songs of praise that I've heard in recent times made. God is so wonderful. Same church, of course, and that same choir, they sing a song that you all know very well. I haven't put another example aside how this might have been sung in a white little church, because it will really be probably murdered for being such a racist. Yet, nevertheless, I have my problems. If we listen to these people, I think, and I hope I do offend some people, I think that What a Friend of Jesus is a very bad type of song and is unacceptable for Christians. God is not going to be called by us What a Friend. Maybe the Lord says to us that you are a friend, but we are not going to sing like this. I think it's a lack of reverence. And many of these things are mamby-pamby, sentimental little songs which talk about the greatest things in the world in such a sentimental way that they lose their meaning. But that happens with all these kinds of songs that are sung in the white churches, all the hymns that we are made in our present century. But the interesting thing is that the black people sing the same kind of songs. They have some of them that are much more forceful, just like happily we sing the old psalms and some of the old good hymns that come from the past out of tradition, of course. But the black people have their good songs. But they also sing the same songs. And yet, nevertheless, if black people sing these songs, which in content are so shallow, it becomes strong. If I hear Mahalia Jackson sing something, it's completely different than when I hear a white woman sing the same song. It is as here you have something real, and there you have something that's completely spiritualized in the very bad sense. That means it has become ghost-like, ephemeral, and it misses all body and reality. Where is this? How does this come? This is one of the real problems that has been in my mind for a long, long time. And I just gave you an example in the beginning just to get you to realize that problem, that there was a singer, just a normal singer, just a fine singer, and there was another fine singer, which is the white man, and the light man's music was unbearably sentimental and bad. Why? And my answer to that question is this. It is the result of all the things that we have been fighting against and we're talking about this morning, Dr. Seefeld, last night, I myself, and the other times that I've been talking, we always talk again about the Enlightenment, the Age of Reason, the change in epistemology, the change in knowledge, the change of man, and we talk about the reduction of reality and all these type of things, but we got to realize these are not interesting philosophical niceties. They are not art historical little knowledge. They are the realities of life. And if now, after two and a half centuries of teaching, we have come to the point that we have lost so much reality, it begins to show. And just those people who have gone through Western education have been talked out of reality. And the other way, somebody like Mahalia Jackson coming out of the black ghetto, these people never had an education. And therefore, they are strong. And so if Mahalia Jackson sings, and I just take her as an example, because she's well known, if she sings, of course, there is something of the great reality. It's a real woman that sings. It's a real human being that sings. And she sings out of that fullness of reality. And then even the shallow text become loaded with meaning, just because it's so real. While if you sing it as we do, white people, because I'm not excluding anybody, including myself, we have gone through this, and it's a hard work to get it through. It's not that easy that you become a Christian and the next day you have the fullness of reality. No, you have to work 3 generations for it, and not on your own, but all together. And that's what we are fighting for and working for, to get together and find back reality, in order that also our songs may get renewed. I know a man who is completely at one with me, who totally agrees with me, and he is angry on it. It's not the Christian who is just angry. Everybody is angry who has some guts in his life. And so we listen to Bob Dylan when he talks and he sings about the thin man. And I think it's so appropriate to talk about ourselves as thin people. We have been thinned out. We have a thin reality outside and we have a thin reality inside, and it shows. And we suffer. And we got to find it back again by the grace of God. That can be done, but not in one day. Just listen for 1 second to Bob Dylan.
When he hears you speak and says, how does it feel to be such a freak, and you say impossible as he hands you a bone. And something is happening here, but you don't know what it is. Do you, Mr. Jones? Your man.
We're nearing the end, and I'm going on to say, of course, that this type of music, these choirs, we have big choirs. We all know the Hawkins singers, the Edmund Hawkins singers, that kind of singers. These are also religious entertainment. And, of course, they have been influenced by the choirs and by all the things. One of the greatest and most influential and most important of this type of either commercial or non-commercial, just on the dividing line of this, is James Cleveland, and he sung with the Angelic Choir some song that has sold millions and millions of copies. Very popular thing in the black community, of course. It's James Cleveland's Jesus Saves.
I've heard the joyful song.
Out of tradition have come many beautiful songs in the black world. One of the most interesting one is Didn't It Rain? It talks about the Ark of Noah, it rained 40 days, it rained 40 nights, and so on and so on. I have you here listening to it now by Mahalia Jackson. Of course, she was just, the bucket was so full that it had to spill over and come in the white world. Of course, Mahalia Jackson was a world-famous singer, except the white men of America had never heard of her, until the CBS began to make one record and promote her, and now everybody knows her. I think this is a great tragedy that things have to go that way. But listen to that record that she made in 1952. It's a record which is called The World's Greatest Gospel Singer. It's still to be bought in all the things. I think millions of these records have been sold. I will say you a few words about this same record a bit later, and I will give you the comment she made herself on it. But here, 1952, Didn't It Rain by Mahalia Jackson.
Children, rain, oh my Lord, did not
Sorry, I just want to have you listen now to Marion Williams. Marion Williams, who is in a certain way the successor to Mahalia Jackson. She's a great singer, and she sang all through the 50s. I happened to have the honor to meet her in 1961. That doesn't make her good, but she is. She is now a very important singer, and in 1967, she sang the same song, which I think is one of the most beautiful and fantastic performances of the same song. The only reason why you just listen to Mahalia Jackson is that you now know the song, because she's really playing with it. Didn't It Rain by Marion Williams.
Didn't it rain, children? Rain, oh my Lord. Didn't it, oh Lord, didn't it rain? Didn't it rain, children? Rain, oh my Lord, didn't it? You know it did. Yes, it did. Oh Lord, didn't it rain? Well, it rained 40 days and it rained 40 nights. Was no land, no nowhere in sight. Thoughts and a raven to spread the news. Horses' wings and away he flew to the east, to the west, to the north, to the south. All day, all night. Oh, listen to that rain. Raining in the north, raining in the south. Raining in the east, raining in the west. Ooh, just listen, listen to that rain. Tell me, did it rain, children? Rain on my Lord, didn't it? You know it did. Yes, it did. What, Lord, didn't it rain? No, got worried when the rain kept dropping. Sent out a raven, sent out a dove. The water, good God, came down from above. Tell me, my God, when it started to rain, the women and the children began to scream. They knocked on the window, battered at the door, cried, "Woo! Noah, take on more." Noah said, "No, no, my friend. God got the key, can't let you in." Rain, children, rain, oh my Lord. Didn't it? Yeah, you know it did. Oh, good Lord, didn't it rain? Rain for the day, rain for the night. There was no land, no rain inside. God sent that raven to spread the news. He hoisted his wings, away he flew. To the east, to the west, to the north, to the south. All day, all night. Ooh. Hey, listen. Good God, listen. Listen to the rain, listen to the rain, listen to the rain. Oh, oh, listen, listen to the rain, listen to the rain, listen to the rain. Woo-hoo, listen, listen, hey, listen to the rain. Whoa, Noah, woo, Noah, hey, 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 hey. Brother Noah got gonna ride on that wind and tide. I said, woo-hoo, Noah, yeah. Brother Noah, woo, Brother Noah, God gonna ride on the wind and tide. Listen to the rain, listen to the rain, listen to the rain. Oh, oh, listen.
In 1961, that was a great time for me because I did quite a bit of traveling, and I was the guest of Dr. Seerveld, and we both went to the house of Mahalia Jackson, and we discussed her records. And she said that she didn't like the kind of accompaniment that was given to her in that great record, which has sold so much. That record out of Didn't It Rain was taken because there was such a jazzy accompaniment. She doesn't like that. In fact, it is not a very good group to begin with, and then it doesn't belong to her. She likes to have it done as she did it, for instance, on her European concert tour. And we will just have an example of that in a few seconds. She, of course, again, you are not so optimistic to think that anybody, even a great person like Marion Williams, can sing a song like you just heard, just extemporate, just improvised. Of course, there's long studies, and if Mahalia Jackson makes a tour through Europe, then she had rehearsals for 3 months before she came there. One of the songs that she loved very much, and and it's played here exactly in the way that she wanted to, is Elijah Rock.
Elijah Rock, shout, shout, shout. Elijah Rock, come in. Elijah Rock, shout, shout, shout. Elijah Rock, come in up low. Zinkle said he saw him wheeling in the middle of the wheel. Some say the role of Sharon, others say the Prince of Peace. But I can tell this old world, he better rock out of shelter for me. Hallelujah! Elijah Rock, shout, shout, shout. Elijah Rock, coming up low. Elijah Rock, shout, shout, shout. Elijah Rock, coming up low. You can call my rocket moan, call him late at night. He's always...
I have one more song on my tape, but time forbids me to play it. But why don't you go to the shop and just buy that record, even if the accompaniment is bad, lousy, racist, and shouldn't have been there. Nevertheless, it's a great record, and the song that I would really want you to listen to is one of the most beautiful Christian songs made in this century. I'm going to move on up a little higher. And just take your Bible and try to find out that every line in that song is related to the Bible itself, and it's a Bible text. It's a beautiful song, which talks about what she thought probably Mahalia Jackson herself talks, and it's a composition of our friend Thomas A. Dorsey. But she thought probably that it referred to heaven, but certainly it does refer to the new earth. And she says, I'm going to wait to see whether you're there at the beautiful golden gate. That's how it ends. I would have loved to let it end like that, but now at this moment I must say that I got to stop.
The song, which Dr. Ruckmacher was not able to play for lack of time, has been inserted here on the tape.
After a while, oh, cheerer. Gonna move on up a little higher. Gonna meet Paul and Silas. Fountain, you know.